Welcome to Embracing and Understanding the Whole Child, our podcast series on what is developmentally appropriate for your child. I am Courtney Kendall Ritchie, the lower school counselor. I am a licensed professional counselor and a registered play therapist. I have been here since 2011, and I am here with Amanda, who I will have introduce herself.
I'm Amanda Villasenor. I am the lower school learning specialist, and I've been here since 2017. I have my master's in education with a specialization in special education, and I'm also a licensed dyslexia therapist. Courtney and I share a passion for education and parent education in particular. Parents are the most influential part of the educational team, and we believe in empowering you with as many resources as we can share to further your child's success. We also know that your time is valuable, so this podcast is being created in hopes that you can listen on your own time to help master the lifelong learning curve that is parenting.
Amanda and I often get questions about what's appropriate or expected for a child. We're creating this podcast to help further your and our understanding of child development. We envision this podcast as a starting place for further discussion about your child's growth and development, and how we can best support you and your child through this process. We're going to start our podcast journey with a series on 3 to 4-year-olds. Today we're discussing social and emotional development. The social and emotional development looks very different in the course of the 3 to 4-year-old's age development. It starts with some basics like understanding mine versus his or hers and ownership of property. It can also look like understanding and responding to family members. Children at this age will also graduate through different levels of play. The first type of play is called onlooker play, where it's observing others but not joining in.
So for example, your child might play mom and dad.
They're going to graduate from that to parallel play, which is where children play side by side, mimicking each other's actions, but are not truly involved in each other's play.
Right, so just being alongside other children and playing.
It could also look like imitating parents and friends. Then they're going to graduate by either the age of 4 or just after 4 to associative play, where children are playing with each other but not for a common goal or theme. Your child is going to be more interested in playing with people than with toys.
So this might be something that looks like your child being more interested in interactive games, like wanting to play Red Light, Green Light, or Duck, Duck, Goose, playing catch. They're also going to start to be better at taking turns in games. This all fits into associative play.
With this increase in imagination and fantasy play, there's also going to be more unrealistic fears. That looks like a monster under the bed or a monster in the closet. So moving on from social development, there are also several changes you will see in your child's emotional development over the course of this year.
So basic emotional development for this 3 to 4-year-old age might include things like showing affection for familiar people, family members, teachers, people that you see often. Your child overall is going to become more independent, and they're going to start viewing themselves as a whole person, mind, body, feelings, all included.
You're also going to see those feelings expanded. They're going to have a wider range of emotions, including sad, angry, happy, bored. You're going to even see a little bit more self-control begin to improve when they are angry or upset. You'll see showing concern for a crying friend, or if you're upset about something, they'll show more concern. However, this also might mean that there's an increase in separation anxiety, and conversely, in some kids that have more intense separation anxiety at a younger age, you're going to hopefully see a decrease in that. You also might see your child get more upset with major disruptions or changes to their routine. So through all this, you've had now the description of social and emotional development. What are some ways that you can help and support your child in their development? First and foremost, while developmental milestones are mostly things that happen when a child's brain and body are ready to progress, there are things that you can do to facilitate the growth. You can allow your child to explore her senses, play with your child, really focused wholly on the play, as it's really the child's way of communicating. They can't always describe what they're feeling, but they can show you through their play. While playing with your child, allow her to take the lead and tell you what to do and how to play. Children will often replay the events happening in their lives that bother them or confuse them in order to process them. This is a chance for you to reflect the feelings and help your child better understand her emotions, to take notice of what is happening in her world, and to help build on the connection with your child. Through this play, really try to only institute limits when necessary. That's an example of hitting or throwing, hurting or damaging the toys out of anger. This is a time to help your child in a loving, empathetic, and safe environment learn what is socially necessary to have successful friendships and how to develop coping skills. If a problem arises, for example, the train got stuck in the pretend mud, let your child come up with a solution. This builds both her problem-solving skill set and her critical thinking skill set.
And when you're playing together, also just make sure that you're talking to your child throughout the whole thing. The more language she hears from you, the more examples that you can give, and the more that you can talk through your mental processes, the more she'll observe. Also, try to create a routine for your child that allows her the space to play. Make sure that you're making time for it. Spending time with you and time to read together is really important too.
Also, encourage play dates between children, observing how they interact and communicate. If children or siblings find themselves in a problem, allow them to try and solve the problem themselves. If they need assistance, reflect the emotions on both sides of the problem, validating each child's emotions and modeling for them a calm and empathetic response to one another. This will assist in many social concerns later in life. Also, when you're entering a new situation, explain expectations to your child of what they can expect entering the new situation and what you expect entering the new situation. If your child is upset, you can start practicing calming techniques. This is something like balloon breathing, bubble breaths, or you can read one of the books we have on the resource list in the Charging Toward Success blog. Also, to help your child feel in control in a world where they are very often out of control, offer your child a lot of choices when they are behaving well. Only offer two choices at a time, both of which you're comfortable with. One of my favorites is, do you want to play for 1 more minute or 5 more minutes? You ask this when you have 5 to 10 minutes left before you actually need to stop playing, and then the child feels like they're in control of the play. Lastly, with children this age, when disciplining, the shorter the conversation, the better.
So when you're thinking about ways to support development and all these behaviors that you're seeing in your child as they grow, we also want to talk to you a little bit about misbehaviors, because there are some developmentally appropriate misbehaviors that you will see that you don't have to worry about too much. So let's talk about those.
So these are things like you'll see some aggression from your child. That comes from not having the language to communicate. So you might see hitting, biting, pushing, throwing a temper tantrum. You will see a decrease in that as time goes on. There might be some very intense screaming. Again, a child doesn't know how to communicate what they're truly feeling. They might choose to flee during the fight, flight, or freeze stress reaction. They might have a lot of difficulty sitting still, which is something that will persist for the next couple of years. And they might answer no to a command quite frequently. As you all know, no becomes their favorite word for a while. They'll exhibit some defiance and pushing of your boundaries. That's when going back to that limit setting we talked about earlier is very helpful. They might have trouble with taking turns and sharing, and you also might hear some baby talk or some whining come out of your child.
Children don't always have the language to work through their frustrations, concerns, or fears at this age, so they respond in a more outward, sometimes physical, sometimes emotional way. These are these developmentally appropriate misbehaviors that we just talked about. Often a misbehavior is a response to a need not being met. So your child might need attention or be hungry. They may feel overwhelmed or just really tired that day.
So what are some areas that you feel you might need to be concerned? Well, that might be showing a limited interest in toy playtime or friends, as play is so important at this age.
If your child doesn't respond to or play with other children at all, that might be a red flag for you.
Also, through the play, if they're not interested in any sort of imaginative pretend play, that might be something that you need to seek out some assistance on.
Likewise, if they don't seem interested in other people or if they're not having conversations, that's a concern.
Further, if when you have a time of separation, like drop off at school, if you're seeing extreme difficulty separating from you, that might be something to reach out for some help on.
Abnormal aggression goes on this list as well.
Also, extreme fears that interfere with daily activities would go on this list.
And then when you're thinking about routines, the more routines we can put in place for our children, the more predictable their life becomes and the easier time they have just handling it. But we do expect some flexibility from our children when routines change or plans change. And if your child is showing extremely rigid behaviors around routines or changes in routines, then again, another red flag. So thank you for listening to Embracing and Understanding the Whole Child. We hope you've enjoyed the conversation, and if you have any further questions or concerns, feel free to contact either Courtney or myself. For additional resources, we hope you'll visit the Charging Towards Success page on Duchenne Connect. The next podcast will focus on academic learning, so cognitive, language, and executive functioning skills.